Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Meanwhile, it's a mail when it comes to the mess in California. The mail is a mess, and it brings up the question of mail-in ballots and how effective will they be if other places are having similar problems to Cali. Let's start with the fires. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, I hope you are safe in whatever nook, cranny, or huge canyon you hail from in the United States or beyond our borders. It's interesting when we look at the fire, when you've got the dry conditions and you still have the winds and there's not a big change there, you get 10% of Oregon evacuating because there's nothing to do other than evacuate. It's too dangerous. So that's a good thing. It's a good thing that people are getting out of the way of the massive wildfires, but it's not a good thing when you think of the lightning strikes that caused this in many cases is, again, what's being pointed to. The amount of firefighters who are exhausted staying on these lines of almost 30 fires in doing what they can. In California, it's just the horizon is smoke. It's hard to breathe in and around Los Angeles, and the flames aren't near there this time around. It's that bad, and the plume of smoke has just overtaken the city. Sadly, the loss of life is the thing that I would care the most about, and they found 7 bodies in Northern California on Thursday. Now the victims are up to 10. 5 others killed in Washington State and Oregon this week because of out-of-control wildfires. So these are deadly, fast-moving flames that are ravaging the West Coast. And it's forcing people to get out as fast as they can. Some, it's too late. It's not soon enough. So there's not enough firefighters to put this out. Luckily, good-hearted people in the U.S. were called upon, and they answered the call. When you have that many wildfires across that many western states and 4.3 million acres burned, then that's a lot of territory to cover. So other firefighters are making their way, are there to help do whatever they can. I mean, roughly, it's like the state of New Jersey's on fire, every single piece of it. That's the equivalent of some of what we've seen. Terrible and terrifying for the people that are there. I mean, this is a beast, a creeper. It is a monster of a different sort than the virus, which is equally as elusive and can be deadly. But seeing what I've seen with these flames, wow. The destruction. Horrific. Absolutely horrific. And thank goodness for those 14,000 plus firefighters who just keep working to exhaustion. If there's no one to fill the line, their space, they just don't want to leave. And the evacuation orders are so important to get the people out before it is too late. I mean, you have this explosive growth of wildfires. So temporary closures on 20 million acres of land. And you can imagine how that goes over. But 2.5 million acres have been scorched this year so far. Imagine those fires. Imagine the challenge. And it's a seasonal challenge because that's why you're getting the winds, all of that. That's when it all kicks up. So a very tough, tough week for the people in Oregon and Washington State and in California, too. Some of the fires have been put out. Some of the smaller families, they're smoldering. But so many are still burning down the house, so to speak. According to the U.S. Forest Service, the fire has been fueled by the high winds that I mentioned and dry conditions. It doesn't take a rocket scientist once you've been there a few times to realize that. But it's also fed by a series of small fires caused by downed power lines and other sources in these areas. So how deadly then does that turn? Worse than it was. If you look at a map of all of the fires going all the way down toward Los Angeles, just wow. Cataclysmic. I would describe it as that. Just torn up. Whether we're talking about outside of Sacramento, whether we're talking about the north, whether we're talking about Washington and Cold Springs and Pearl Hill and Salem and just on the outskirts of Portland in Oregon. It's creeping. And it's been there since the active fires, many of them have been there since September 3rd. The hope is sooner rather than later, crush them. Whatever's needed, just get it done. Whatever it is. So the recovery challenges and the events that are happening with COVID-19, then you add this fire for the people on the West Coast, these fires, and then you add 9/11 into that, 19 years of remembering that, and wow. What a powder keg. But if there's social distancing, if people are masking when they should mask up, then it doesn't have to be that way. And it's important, I think it's incredibly important to honor the people who lost their lives on 9/11. Because remember, we all said, hashtag, we will not forget. And so in an effort to not forget, it has to be recognized every single year. But it gets tricky when you're in a pandemic and you're trying to figure out ways to be able to do that safely and get people involved. We have 192,000 cases of COVID deaths as a result of COVID-19. We have 6.41 million cases. If you take that number and look at what the deaths are worldwide, put it in the worldwide pile, 909,000. The recovery number shoots up, 19 million. The total cases worldwide, 28.2 million. Every area is different. Some areas are worse than others. And what we all have to deal with is what your local government decides. Because bit by bit, some places are deciding they have to be masked up. Everybody has to social distance. It's too risky. And others don't have a lot of cases to report. And that's a good thing. No cases, no worry. Right? There's no deception. You're trying to do what you can to keep it out there, to level it off, whatever that takes. Avengers and Game of Thrones actress who was pretty noteworthy in her day dies. Who is it? I'll tell you next when we go to We Can Count.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. there's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The battle of late stage or terminal illness is a fight that affects everything and everyone in your life. If you or a loved one are dealing with advanced stage conditions that are causing financial hardship, like stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, Alzheimer's, COPD, or ALS, then this message is for you. Our Funds for Living program make it a simple 3-step process. Text the word LIVE to 411-411 or visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and we'll send you a link to get started. Choose the amount of money you need. Apply in seconds. That's it. And you're under no obligation. Fifth Season will advance a portion of your life insurance policy and take over your premium payments so you can provide immediate financial relief to the ones you love, all without any out-of-pocket expenses. Fifth Season Financial wants to help you live your best life. Text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Siren back in the day, and she was a Bond girl, Game of Thrones also in her later years. Avengers, though, really put her on the map. Diana Rigg died at the age of 82. Her daughter says that she spent her last months joyfully reflecting on her extraordinary life. And she had quite a career. She was at home with her family when she passed. She won an Emmy Award in 97 for her performance as Mrs. Danvers in Rebecca, a Tony Award for playing the title character in Medea. She was a Bond girl in 69 on Her Majesty's service, and she found fame in the Game of Thrones. She was Lady Tyrell. And she was Emma Peel in The Avengers, in that classic series that was later adapted into the 1998 movie starring Ralph Fiennes and Uma Thurman. And she, if you go and were to look her up on whatever device you use, you'll see that she was really pretty popular, I think, throughout the years. A very, very popular actress. So Dame Diana Rigg. Dead at the age of 82. She will be missed on the big screen and the little screen, because there were other roles for her that were in the offering stages. All right, moving to some other numbers. I always say there's just numbers everywhere in our world. Weekly jobless claims, because, of course, the 50%, I saw this Harvard statistic, I talked about it on a past show, say that this Harvard study that 50% of Americans are suffering hardship enough through the virus. They can't pay a mortgage, can't pay student loans, can't pay credit cards, whatever it might be. Weekly jobless claims totaled 884,000 last week. So the total is 13.385 million. That's an increase of 93,000 from the previous week. And that's, I mean, that's where we sit. It's not a surprise because as this continues to roll on and there's the reopening and the shutting down, some businesses are finding a way. Some just cannot. They can't, you know, they can't do it, period. NASA is looking for companies to help. Are they crying poverty? They want to buy moon rocks from private companies. That's what they're saying. They're willing to pay any company that's capable of scooping them up. They're putting out an all call for proposals from companies, challenging them to snag small samples of rocks on the moon's surface. So they'll have to prove they've collected lunar samples in some way, and in some kind of small container by sending pictures and the data to NASA. If satisfied, they pledge to purchase the samples for between $15,000 and $25,000. Wow! They say they're going to retrieve the samples, bring them back to Earth. And they want this to happen before 2024. That's the deadline for sending people back to the moon. Companies that can pull it off, they say that a small portion of the money, when awarding the contract, they'll get it, and during the launch. The rest get when the sample, the rest of the funds would be received when the sample is bagged. I don't know. So how much does it cost to get to the moon? Let me send my spacecraft that costs millions of dollars, and I might get $25,000 for some of my rocks. They're serious about it, though. They need them, and they're willing to pay, but you have to have the right. So what, Elon Musk? I don't know. Who has the kind of power to get up there in the first place? So that's my question. I love the all call. Put out the all call. 19 months. What were you like at 19 months? Well, you probably don't remember, but you see pictures. There was a little bit of chaos on a jet. The cops hauled off a hysterical family off of a WestJet flight because their 19-month-old baby wasn't wearing a mask. And yes, this was a flight from Calgary to Toronto. They were having none of it. Get off the flight. They're not really commenting on much, but all the passengers had to disembark. And WestJet then said, well, the issue wasn't really with the infant, who's below the age required to wear a face covering, but the family's three-year-old. So apparently they had a three-year-old daughter who was eating a snack before takeoff. A flight attendant approached, demanded that both children wear a mask, and a wife and husband were wearing the mask, but they insisted the daughter had to finish before she could put on the mask, and you know where this is going. It went in the wrong direction is what happened. And one witness said, though, she said the airline's response was unnecessary, said she was shocked that the parents were calm, they were nice, they didn't raise their voices, they never got angry, they were just trying to reason with them. And then that was it. Out. You're gone. The 19-month-old, no. The 3-year-old, no. Both of them, whatever it is. 1,400 cases of what? Wish it was beer. Well, maybe not beer. Iced tea. But instead, it is the amount of cases at the University of South Carolina. So when they went back, they being the students, went back to school, the hope was, you know what, we can contain this. Instead, students at the University of South Carolina are protesting in front of the school president's house, Bob Caslin, and they're holding signs that say, it's all Bob's fault. 1,872 sick, referring to the total reported number of students who've been infected since August 1st. Wow. One message said, 1,400 plus sick. The question mark and an exclamation point. You'll run out of students before I run out of paint. That popped up in white letters on campus buildings. Yikes. Out of more than 1,000 colleges and universities that have reported positive coronavirus cases so far this school year, the University of South Carolina is struggling more than some others. There are other schools that are also starting to test high. You know, cases are clicking up. I mean, it makes sense if you are at these parties, there's hundreds of people together, you're going to get big numbers. But can you imagine that they're outside of the president's house? Bob, it's your fault. It's your fault. Do something about it. Do you pull the curtains? Do you draw them closed? I bet you they did. A python laid 7 eggs. You might say, well, so what? That's without male help. Experts at the St. Louis Zoo trying to figure out how a 62-year-old ball python laid those eggs despite not being near a male python for at least 2 decades. They say it's unusual but not rare necessarily to reproduce asexually is what it's called. And the birth, though, is unusual because ball pythons usually stop laying eggs long before they reach their 60s. But this one didn't. This one produced. So there you have it, the mystery. Science does what science wants to do, or the animal kingdom does what the animal kingdom wants to do, and then we try to explain it, or something like that. Anyway, that's what it looks like to me. That's what I'm thinking. You do what you want to do, you do you, and we're going to do us. And that means if it's about having eggs and having more little baby pythons, don't try to explain it, right? France records the highest daily coronavirus cases since the pandemic began, almost 10,000 new infections. So they're being rocked by this. And it happened a day before a cabinet meeting, which they're looking at new local lockdowns to curb the spike. So President Macron said this would give the public a clear idea of what can be expected in the coming weeks. He says he wants to be transparent and clear. Since the beginning of the month of September, new cases have soared by an average of 7,292 a day. Nobody wants to hear soar and coronavirus in the same sentence. We don't. None of us want to hear that. All right, speaking of trying to predict, Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, warning that the U.S. should prepare for a difficult few months in the fight against COVID-19 with the flu season approaching. He said, and I quote, "We need to hunker down and get through this fall and winter because it's not going to be easy." He said that during a panel discussion with doctors from Harvard Medical School. It's not going to be easy, and because of the flu, that is, again, the concern of what happens when you multiply that. Stay with us. Greg Van Arsdale coming up next.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Authorities in Northern California's Butte County were continuing to look for at least 12 people missing in a fire after 3 people were found dead in connection with the blaze. Jacob Blake from the U.S. Forest Service talks about how much of a struggle it is to rescue anybody caught in the fires.
The pilots have been challenged by visibility most of all. The smoke has been very thick.
There are firefighters that deployed fire shelters last night in that area. And so when you deploy a fire shelter, that's kind of a last chance for survival. So you take the fire shelter out of your pack and you crawl into it.
The fire continues to worsen after burning for about 3 weeks, damaging or destroying hundreds of homes and other structures. Destructive wildfires are also tearing through parts of Oregon and Washington State. The Butte County Sheriff's Office said it has received at least 85 missing person reports or requests for welfare checks in the last 24 hours. This is USA Radio News. Those people who are concerned about the safety of a COVID-19 vaccine should feel reassured that AstraZeneca's Phase 3 clinical trials were put on hold, looking into a potential side effect, according to Dr. Francis Collins, the director of the National Institutes of Health.
I think it should be seen as very reassuring that safety is being taken with the greatest seriousness. But again, if anybody thinks we're just glossing over these kinds of issues in the big rush to approve a vaccine, this ought to be reassuring.
In an interview on NBC News, Collins said it's not uncommon for clinical trials to pause because of unexpected adverse events. More than 630 students at the University of Alabama and three student organizations have now received sanctions for violating the school's COVID-19 regulations. The school did not give specific details on what led to the sanctions, but the university has issued the student sanctions immediately. Students were suspended from campus while their conduct cases proceed. This is USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Metaphysical style, M-A-H-O, metaphysical style, with the good day style,
Hypothesis, scientifical parabolis, my lyrical projectile puncture, chronical matter, bisected, injected diffractions, computating thoughts, through traveling around, stored in a fluffy, T1-line connect intersect, riding brain waves, like a silver surfer style, wireless mode in hand. Raising sandy swords, I get metaphysical.
I'm really excited to introduce you to our next guest in Author's Corner. We had a great off-air conversation, and he tackled a question that I have wondered for a very long time, and I think many of you have too. Let me give you a little quick background before we go to Greg Van Arsdale. And here's the deal. He was heavily recruited by the Navy because of his mind. He went to school on a physics scholarship. He ended up really rising through the ranks, if you will. He was an officer instructor for the Naval Nuclear Power School. And imagine what you're learning there. And then he moves on to become a training manager for Florida Power and Light. And he was pondering a lot of things, but certainly one of the things that is my big burning question, he learned quantum mechanics in school and said that, you know, he found questions and dilemmas that physics, when you looked at physics, could it be answered or not be answered when you talked about energy, you know, the dark energy, this new form of non-atomic energy. So here's the deal. He wrote the dual energy concept, and then also he wrote a book that that we're talking about here today, along with that one, Beyond Mere Belief. Married the two, and I think you need to read both of them for the reason that we're going to talk about here. So, Greg, thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's my pleasure.
So I just, you have a big brain. You do. You have a big brain to go through, get a physics scholarship and go through the things that I said. That's why I listed what you did. But you had this burning question that I said I think so many of us have. And what was that question?
The question was, you know, why, how, in terms of understanding the nature of reality and understanding in terms of beyond mere belief what we believe and why. That's so misunderstood nowadays.
Yeah, and you and in our conversation, and what many people experience is, well, it's this answer back of just believe, because just believe. That's what you do. That's what you're taught. Just believe it. Here it is. And when we're talking about that, we're talking about if you look at Christianity, for example, you can look at religion, you can look at other aspects of our life, certainly, but definitely with religion. And you wanted to go deeper than that. So what was it like for you to dig deeper, and what did you come away with?
Well, as you stated, I grew up with in a religious background, and as I asked questions about what I was being taught, I was just told, you know, you're not supposed to understand that, just believe it. And that always struck a wrong chord in my life. And as I got into science actually has its own version of just believe. They call it quantum weirdness. When they get to something that they can't explain, they say just say, you know, oh, it's quantum weirdness. And so as I developed the dual energy concept, I found that by including another form of energy into the equation, I can answer both in science and in Christianity, but just believe question. In science, quantum weirdness goes away. But more importantly, in Christianity, you know, with this other form of energy, we no longer have to be chained to the notion of just belief. That's why Beyond Mere Belief, as you said, my book is known. That's why it remains the cornerstone of my writing career.
Yeah, so let's talk about that specifically. What does somebody learn? What's the takeaway when they read the book? What will they walk away with Beyond Mere Belief? What will they find out?
Oh, they have insights into the soul, because I've always been asked the question, well, what is the soul? I went to school with a lot of very intelligent people, and I worked with some extremely intelligent people. And when I talk to them about the soul or salvation or et cetera, they come back to me with, you know, what is the soul? Where is it? You know, what does saved mean? And I found myself flat-footed. And so what I did with Beyond Mere Belief is write it down in a way that the people can understand in physical, tactile terms what a soul is. What's the difference with that and the spirit? What is salvation? Is salvation a concept? Or is it something that physically happens to the soul? And it's things like this. Even the nature of God. I can't draw a box around God and say this is him, this is what God is. But I can explain what God has shown to us. And these types of questions are what they'll come away with Beyond Mere Belief.
Yeah, I like the question of what is a soul, because I can remember as I was so young in school, and I went to Catholic school, and I remember that was the question. It was on the chalkboard, what is a soul? And really, we were kind of scared because the descriptions didn't match what we were thinking, and there was never any explanation, and that's the brilliance of this. For you, I think you're a guy who, in our conversations, you seem like you're at peace. So once you dug this out, went deeper, do you feel like you're at peace because you have these answers?
Oh, definitely. It's from a very young age, I felt like I was needed. my purpose in life was to explain things. That's why I went into physics to begin with, because I liked learning how things understand, and I became an instructor because I love teaching. And so with Beyond Mere Belief, I'm able to complete my purpose in life, my reason for being here on Earth. And so it was very important to me, and I am at peace with being able to express that finally in written form.
Yeah, and for people, and you've written so many books. You've written The Stranger, The Genesis Project series, Part 1, New Beginnings, Endgame, The Final Day, The Priestley Murders, Hijacked on the Alaskan Seas. When do you have time? The Columbian Connection, the list goes on and on and on. And, of course, the dual concept and what we're talking about here, Beyond Mere Belief. What do people tell you about reading Beyond Mere Belief and the dual energy concept?
What do they tell me?
Yeah, what's the reaction to people you know that have read it?
Well, mainly I get my main reaction from the young audience. The older people, like the professors and stuff like that I talk to, they're rather indentured into the old concept. I mean, they were taught what they were taught back in the day, and they have so much invested in it. But the young people coming out of high school and into college, they're hungry and for that knowledge. They want more than just believe. And so that's what I come away with. That's who my biggest target audience is the millennials, the people who really want to understand what's going on. And they have questions not only in science, but they also have questions in terms of religion. And so I'm able to give that to them.
Yes, so interesting. Fascinating book. Again, Beyond Mere Belief. And I love what's right above the title. No longer must we be chained to the notion of just believe. And I've seen this with younger people too, Greg. So I so agree, where they ask question after question they want to know, and especially when it comes to theology and science. Greg Van Arsdale, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Yeah, it's so interesting in talking to Greg. It made me think. He made the light bulb pop on in my head too. My 19-year-old nephew, who's been working with me, I've talked a lot about him. He always is asking me more questions, more questions, more questions. And that notion, like he says, of just believe. That doesn't wash. And especially, it's interesting because in the two target areas that Greg's talking about, that's where some of our conversations are. And it's interesting when you take science and then you take religion, and that makes sense of just when you can't find the answer, and the answer before was, well, just believe, and that's not acceptable. So his book goes really, really deep. It is fascinating. And I, at the beginning of this, that's why I really emphasized what his background was, the fact that he was this big brain physics guy and just flew up the chain, like I said, in the Navy, and was an instructor. So you got to think about nukes, and you got to think about Naval Nuclear Power School and what that is. So he was steeped in science too, and then trying to answer the questions in both of those areas, which they can be at odds, certainly, when you talk about science and religion. So anyway, you can get that on Amazon, Beyond Mere Belief. Thanks so much to all of you for listening to the show. We'll catch you down the road.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the coming chaos after the November elections, this will be an extremely important message. Here's why. No matter what the outcome in November, catastrophic social upheaval is a very real possibility. Here's why this is important. Listen, we all know that silver and gold have been historic hedges against the uncertain waves of social chaos and unstable currencies. But did you know that there's been times in the past, during times of extreme hardship, when Americans put another store of value above even silver and gold? It's true, open pollinated seeds have been and could very well be the ultimate store of value in the coming hard times ahead. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com to get heirloom seeds below wholesale. Visit SurvivalSeedBank.com this week and get hundreds of dollars in free bonuses. Beat the coming chaos, beat rising food prices, but above all, don't wait. Beat the crowds by claiming your own Survival Seed Bank today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Journey with Michelle Wilson. She wrote a book called Eye of the Warrior, and the backstory on when she wrote it, how she put it all together, to me is so fascinating, along with the tale itself, because you get lost in the journey in the book, the novel, actually, and what that's like in looking at good and evil in our world, and the dungeons of kings to winged demons and all that kind of thing. And you know how much I love stories of sorcerers and witches and good versus evil, and that certainly is part of a big mix of the Eye of the Warrior. Michelle, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's talk about when you actually wrote the book. I mean, you were just a kid. When did you write the book?
I wrote the book when I was 17. So I wrote the book about 35 years ago.
Wow. And when you, what drove you to write the book at that age? If you take us back to that, what was rattling around that made you think, oh, I got to write this book?
Well, I was always an achiever, either cross country or whatever. I watched a movie called The Dark Crystal, and I said, hey, I can do that.
And so did. You did. I can do it. I can do what they're doing. And there is something to that, but instead of just letting it kind of sit there, then 35 years later, I mean, here we go, and it holds up. So that's what's so interesting. Like you said, you were an overachiever. You nailed it at 17, and here we are all these years later. How rewarding is it to have it released and have it out there on Amazon?
Oh, it feels wonderful. The universe is kind.
I like that. The universe is kind hashtag. That's a good one. So tell us about the story. Pull us into the story. If we met and we were sitting over coffee and I said, oh, wow, your book, Eye of the Warrior, what's that about?
It's about good and evil, darkness, humanity, everything I believe that we're going through right now in our world. We're so divided, but yet we're so much alike. And my characters in the book, like I, you know, Tamar, you know, every young woman, you know, I didn't have a dad around when I was young. And he's my hero. He's my savior. Now, Tamar, you know, the one that drags his leg, his sidekick, his little crippled guy, is my cousin. You know, he was hydrocephalic and crippled, and I would drag him everywhere.
Wow.
You know, so a lot of my characters are people that are in my life that I've just put into words and on paper.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like you say, you know, you write about what you know about and what you saw then. And here you are now. We fast forward to where you are at this point in your life. And you're still writing. You're still working about that. You want to open children's minds, right? You want to open them up to the possibility.
Yes, I do. I want them to dream, you know. I want them to dream. You know, you can do whatever you want in this world. Only society is going to tell you different.
Boy, that's interesting.
This book was hard for me to get up, you know. But
yeah.
I did it.
Yeah. So there's something about that. Just dive in, right? Leap and the net will find you.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you've written this book, and you take us on, like I said, this interesting journey, and I described it as, I think, from dungeons and then to winged demons and sorcerers and witches and fairies, and the crystal was a big influence for you. Was it fun to go back when you decided you were going to release this, you were going to make it happen? Was it fun to go back initially and read it?
Yes, I think it had a lot to do with faith, you know, and the crystal has a lot to do with that. When I was young, faith is something I always fell back on.
Yeah.
And so it was really important for me to add that into the book.
So when you have this release like you do and you have these other books in your mind, what's going on? What's the future? What comes next for you? Are you going to go
I'm working on the trilogy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you pick up the story where you started at 17, and then you take us through what next. What can we? I know you can't tell us everything, but certainly if you read the first book, you learn about the trials of a god, the valley of tears, the dreams of kings. Dreams are big. The fight for kingdoms. Where do you take us from here?
Well, the next book is going to be a little darker and a little deeper. It's going to have fallen angels. Mm. I got lizards in it. There'll be characters from the past, but there'll be new ones. And Teltar will be returning from hell to seek his revenge. But as what? I have to leave that up to the readers. But I can read the prologue. I can give my audience the prologue.
There you go, the prologue. So what's the prologue mixed with?
Okay, there is an angel. He sits upon a mighty mountain, his wings and beauty beyond any other. His music and love cast a spell upon all humanity that we have yet to comprehend, but soon will. He looks at all his children, beautiful and naked, as the mucus drips from their wings, arms, and legs, shimmering in the sunlight. Off your knees, rise, my children, rise. 7 Days to Sunlight by Michelle Wilson.
Wow. All right, so 7 Days to Sunlight. Whew, boy, oh boy. Interesting. And when people read this, what do you want them to feel? What do you want the impact to be of reading this novel, Eye of the Warrior, and what's to come next?
Well, when I wrote the first one, the world was a lot different place.
Yeah.
Of course. And so this is kind of a mixed bag of society and actually what we're going through right now.
Yeah. That's so true.
From real to imaginary to what people want to believe, what they don't want to believe. There again, it's about good and evil and humanity and love and friendship and things that bring us together and the things that separate us.
Mm-hmm. Michelle Wilson, thank you so much. Eye of the Warrior, pick it up on Amazon.
Thank you.
All right, so everybody knows that. I maybe you don't know. I'm just assuming. I like books. I read books. I'm in the middle of a novel. I'm writing my own novel. So anybody who writes to me and they actually follow through, and Michelle's story was so fascinating to me because, as we said, here she was at 17. She writes it, and she wrote it in 6 months, and then she revisits it, comes up with it, releases it, and now she's doing this trilogy. See, it's never too late, and that's what she shows us there. There's unquestionably by going back and doing it, and the book does really focus on what I think is so big is dreams, and right at the beginning she addresses that. You know, do you not dream at night, and do not these dreams feel real, so that you can almost touch and wipe the tears away from companions, for your journey to them is over now. They've carried you to another world, and in return you've fought their wars, you've loved and been loved, you've lost, and now, my friend, they lose you, though you will once again return when the sun falls and you choose and you close your eyes to sleep, there is another trail. This is the line I love. You close your eyes to sleep, there's another trail you must walk down and another dream you must dream through the eyes of the warrior. And that's it. I mean, she sets it up brilliantly about this is where we're taking you. And then you go through the vision and you go through the chapter 3 is Chains of Loneliness and what happens there. And then the book takes you out on the other side. And so I'm really fascinated, not just by this book, by what the follow-ups I think are going to be in this one. And I mentioned this of the different genres of books I read. And I read a lot of different books, and including the fact that I'm doing my own novel. So I know what that's like to get lost in that story and the whole dream sequence and whatnot. But having the sorcerers and the warriors, and when I was a kid, it was kind of sparse. Those there were tales like that, but not as much as now. The I think thirst for that, and as Michelle was saying, because of where we are in our world, what people are looking at, what connects us, what separates us, what is it that we're looking for, and what happens when we don't find it, and what has dreaming and searching been like, and putting yourself in other worlds. And I think really with Eye of the Warrior, that's exactly what she did. And when she told me she wrote this, because I didn't know that story, when she told me she wrote this at 17, I was so surprised by that, because the writing is so, to me, is not that a 17-year-old couldn't do that, but the writing is so deep and descriptive. And she said in the interview that she based some of the characters on people that she knew, most of the characters, and that makes complete sense if you think of the 17-year-old doing the book, and it's just so, so well done. So it was a pleasure to have her on the show. Thanks so much for listening to us in this version of the show. Coronavirus crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.